Since 1951, the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services, DACOWITS, the Armed Services, that is, has forwarded its annual research findings to the Defense Secretary. This year, the committee studied 14 areas, and joining me with the highlights and some of the recommendations, retired Air Force General Janet Wolfenbarger, who chaired the committee. General Wolfenbarger, great to have you on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this opportunity.
And you are fairly new to this committee, correct, after having served as a first four-star in the Air Force and retiring?
First woman four-star in the Air Force, yes. Retired in July of 2015 and came on the committee in March of 2016. I assumed the chair position in June of last year.
And what did you look at for the report just submitted to the Secretary of Defense?
Well, we had 14 different topics that we studied. From those 14 topics, we came up with 14 recommendations, and then we have what we call continuing concerns, so areas that the committee has studied in the past that we want to keep in front of the Secretary of Defense and the department writ large relative to areas that we want them to stay focused on.
Probably in 1951, no one could have imagined that the day would come when every single possible combat role in the military would be open to women, but that's been the case for a couple of years now, so I imagine that must still be a dominant topic for this committee to look at.
Yes, it absolutely is. In fact, Tom, if I could put this in perspective just from my own career, I spent 35 years in the United States Air Force and saw great evolution towards gender integration over the course of those 3.5 decades. It was during my lifetime that I had many positions that were closed to women, gradually open to women, and then ultimately here just after I retired, it was in December of 2015 that the Secretary of Defense issued that direction to open all positions to women, to include those that have been formally closed due to the combat relationship.
And how is that coming?
So there is a process that the Secretary of Defense mandated, which was to ask all of the services to develop implementation plans that he would approve. He did that last year, I believe it was in the March timeframe. And then subsequent to that approval of those individual implementation plans, each of the services have been marching along to their own individual plan. The committee has requested fairly routinely status updates on how those integration implementation plans are executing. In fact, we have a DACOWITS meeting coming up here this week, and we will get another status update from each of the service representatives.
And how are the services doing? I think it varies, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And each of the implementation plans is different, you know, relative to the individual positions for each service that had previously been closed that are now open. I'd say, and now can I tell you, Tom, that I need to kind of caveat that while I am the chair of DACOWITS, I need to note that although any opinion that I express to you this morning is really in my own personal capacity, not I'm speaking on behalf of the committee. Certainly, I'm happy to share with you the committee work, but opinions are my own. And from my perspective in answering that question, I think the services have all come a long way. They continue to make progress, but this is a culture change, and it will take years, in my opinion, to get after fully integrating throughout all of those previously closed positions.
Because there have been some practical matters that come up. For example, the fitness requirements of men versus women to get through some of the special forces training and even some of the basic training. And also the combat gear, I guess, continues to be a little bit of an issue, probably less so than it was a number of years ago, gear to accommodate a female body versus a male body and some of the standards along those lines.
That's absolutely true. So those are two different topics that you raised, two topics that, in fact, the committee is focused on. The first you mentioned was the standards. So there are physical fitness standards for each of the services, and then there are occupational standards. The fitness standards do recognize that there is a difference in physiology between men and women, and the intent there is for all the services to assess the health and the readiness of their personnel in terms of physical fitness capabilities. The occupational standards were mandated to be gender neutral by the Secretary of Defense so that anybody that is qualified and can meet those occupational standards should be given afforded the opportunity to participate in that particular career field or that particular role. So those standards have been put in place, and they are now in the process of attracting women to go into those various career fields. And I think it's slow to start. I think most people would say that. That's not unexpected, and continues to progress and accelerate as time unfolds. Now, you mentioned combat gear, and that has been an area of concern as well for the committee. We do believe that the services have made good progress. And in particular, this last 2016 report, we did applaud the services, particularly the Army and the Marine Corps, for the progress that they had made in getting after ensuring that women have properly designed and fitted combat equipment, which is really essential to their rank.
We're speaking with retired Air Force General Janet Wolfenbarger, chairman of the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services. And what's the committee's sense of the take-up of women that want to go into combat roles? I mean, military careers nowadays are many, many different careers, and really a relatively small proportion of them are frontline combat. And so is this something women in general want to do?
It is certainly now available for women to do. And so we're just in the early stages of understanding what that, I would call it a propensity to say that that is an area that they'd like to go in. One of the areas that the committee has focused on is in what we characterize as, well, within our accessions and marketing, kind of the recruitment activities that we have ongoing, the strategic communications that the services are using as they are attempting to attract both men and women into service. And then in particular, we focus clearly in our committee on those communications, those images that that might attract women. And that was one of our recommendations last year in the 2016 report, was to take a look at the current social media that the services are using, and the imaging that is currently available. And we did a little bit of an accounting to see kind of percentage-wise how many images of women in what we characterize as non-traditional roles were included in that imaging, and came up with a recommendation that we thought there was an opportunity here to increase that positive strategic wording and imaging across all communication platforms.
And probably since the advent of the all-volunteer force, what is it now, 45 years or so ago, increasingly the military life has become a family life situation, and the military has slowly adapted to that. But you also address the specific issue of pregnancy and military life and family life. And what are some of the recommendations there, and how far have things progressed in those terms?
We've made tremendous progress. Again, if I go back to my own personal experiences, Tom, when I first arrived, I was in the first class of women that attended the Air Force Academy. We all arrived in the summer of 1976. So, you know, I spent really 39 years in the Air Force when you count the 4 years at the Academy. And back in the mid-70s, there was still an executive order on the books that allowed the services to separate women who became pregnant or became a parent through another means, adoption, or became step-parent. So you fast forward to the end of my career and where we are today. Certainly there is now a recognition that that executive order needed to be rescinded, that we needed to embrace the need for maternity leave and now paternity leave as well. Most recently, last year, the Secretary of Defense authorized an extension from what had been a standard of 6 weeks of maternity leave to now 12 weeks, doubling that maternity leave. That was one of our focus areas during our installation visits this year, was to assess how the service members that we got a chance to talk to felt about that extension and you know, were they taking advantage of it. I think the services have put focus in this area. I think it's an area that continues to need focus. As we look at retention and the fact that in some instances women decide to separate and leave the services at higher rates at various points in their careers, we're focused on the rationale for why. In many cases, it's family issues and concerns. And so some of this kind of circles back to ensuring that we have all the right skill sets and capabilities that each of the services need. And by keeping a focus on the family aspects of serving, it can only help us in that regard.
What will Dakowitz look for in 2017 report? What are some of the issues that are top of mind coming up?
Well, I just had mentioned retention. That is an area that we do want to put a focus on this year. We call it mid-career retention. And as I mentioned, each of the services are slightly different in terms of their experiences to date. But it was an area that we've had the services come in and brief us on in terms of strategies. We've also been out. We do installation visits in Dakowitz, one of the few federal advisory committees that still does getting out and meeting with the various service members. So 55 different visits, focus groups this year, more than 500 service members that we talked to over the course of about a six-week period in the spring. And so we're just distilling the feedback that we received on that topic, as well as the gender integration topic. We talked to service people about their propensity to serve? What was it that attracted them to come into service in the first place? And kind of what's their, do they have recommendations for how we could continue to attract high caliber individuals throughout the country to serve? We have a focus on this year on physiological gender differences, and is there a need to take a look at perhaps how that could translate into a different approach in some cases to training to achieve physical standards, occupational standards, fitness standards. We've got a continued focus on maternity leave policy, child care resources, family care plans, those types of things. It's a robust list, I think 12 different topics for this year.
Retired Air Force General Janet Wolfenbarger is chairman of the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate this opportunity.